power of his presence. That's where it's at. The power of his presence. And it's just not on Sunday. It is available every day of the week. But you must invite him. And you must allow him. Because the fight that you fight is not your own. It's not just you. It's a fight that God wants to fight through you and with you. In fact, the word says, his strength gives me hope in the midst of my own weakness. How many know that we're in a fight today? You're in a fight for your soul. We're in a fight for the soul of our nation. We're in a fight for the souls of our community. And the scripture makes it very clear that we're to fight the good fight of faith. Now, there's a bad fight of faith, and I'm going to share a little bit about that in just a moment. There's a good fight of faith. There was a gentleman who went to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I need to meet with you. I've got some things I need to discuss with you. I've got a marriage that's not going too well." He said, "Okay," he set up a meeting. They come in on a Monday and they sat down. He says, "Pastor, me and my wife fight every single day of the week. I don't want to let you know something. In the middle of that fight, she comes crawling to me on her hands and knees." Pastor was a little concerned about that. He said, "Well, but she comes crawling to you on your hands. What's going on in this moment? She's telling me to come out from underneath that bed and fight like a man." I mean, sometimes we crawl up underneath the spiritual bed. Enemy's telling us to come out and fight like a man or a woman. And we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. But God wants us to fight. Before I go on, I just remembered. I saw Julia and for the love of me, I know that little child's name, but I can't recall it. It's Alessandra. We got a new person that's just started attending our church, and we are the first church she chose to attend, and we are so grateful. Alessandra, Julia, can you give that little baby? He's here, and we just want to. That's where God has given us an opportunity. I consider it an exciting opportunity to be able to pour into someone that they might find hope and faith in Christ Jesus. But fighting a good fight of faith. And I know last week was awesome. And some of you, I see your back. God touched you in the altars. And I can guarantee you how your week probably went. Your week probably started off really good on Sundays. You felt refreshed and you felt, man, the Lord has done something. Then Monday came. Oh, Lord, help us on Mondays. And it just, the devil gets on your back and he starts wearing you out. And by about Tuesday, you're thinking you can't go on. By Wednesday, you just throw your hands up and say, "What in the world?" By Thursday, you just said, "Forget about it." And by Friday, you think, "Well, Sunday's coming, so maybe I can just hang on just a little longer." And you get through Saturday because you ain't got to go to work, or maybe you do, but you just get through and you're here on Sunday. And you're barely getting through. How many know that God doesn't want you just to barely get through? God wants you victorious. God wants you to be successful. He's not against you. He's for you. But in the good fight of faith, we sometimes lose track, or we get distorted exactly how we can go about winning. And God wants us to win. Paul wrote to Timothy, he was one man that he poured into, and he left him to pastor a church that was very dysfunctional, as most churches are. And Timothy probably was somewhat discouraged and wanted to throw his hands up and give up. And then Paul begins to pen these letters to Timothy, trying to encourage him, trying to get him to understand how to fight the good fight of faith. And he pens these words to him in 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So he's saying, Timothy, I want to assure you, later on, maybe in another part of this letter, he tells Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was given to him upon the laying on of hands. He said, "Timothy, it's real in you. There's something in you that God has done. And the enemy wants to destroy that. And the enemy wants to cause you to fail. But I'm here to tell you to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life. It's a promise. How many know the devil can't take your eternal life away from you? He can't come in and snatch it away. And as a kid, I used to think, I give my heart to the Lord and then I would do something wrong. And I felt like I'd done separated myself from God's love. God never gives up on his children. And he won't give up on you. But we sometimes fail because we forget that there is a way that the enemy goes about attacking us. How many know you've got to fight for your faith? And we are in a fight, and the faith that we have is under attack. How does the enemy attack you and I? He's attacking us in this nation. Many of us feel under attack for our faith. Many of you, maybe in the workplace, you feel like you can't express your faith because the enemy's coming against you. He uses many different ways of attacking us, but it's a constant thing that he tries to do. One of the first ways he attacks your faith is by trying to tempt you. And temptation does come. And I got news for you. If you're trying to serve the Lord, I can't guarantee you that you won't be tempted. In fact, the one thing I can guarantee you, you will be tempted. Temptation comes to us all. The Bible makes it very clear that we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires. We were born into a sinful nature. By our own nature, we typically are drawn to things, and most of us, we've lived lives of sin, and so, you know, our bodies are just wired sometimes to sort of go a different direction than God wants us to go, and so you're going to have temptation, and maybe you made a decision to follow Christ years ago, or maybe you made it last week, but whatever you're facing today, remember, temptation comes to us all. I'm tempted. Many of my elders within this church that have lived for the Lord all their life, they will tell you they are tempted. So temptation will come. That is not a sign that you have fallen back. That is not a sign that God's removed his hand from you. That's just a way that life is. And then when temptation comes, it causes us to doubt the experience that we have. I can recall those moments in time where God poured into me something special, something unique. And at that moment, it felt so real and so tangible that it just seemed like, you know, it was the most amazing thing. But then a few days later, when I walked away from that place or I began to live my life in a normal routine, there were doubts that would come into my mind. And it was no doubt the enemy and my own flesh that was telling me, I didn't want nothing but you. You felt God, but it was just heartburn. That was just your emotion getting you carried away. Now, I can remember experiencing God in unique ways, being baptized in the Holy Spirit and feeling that, and then feeling this overwhelming sense of, was it God or was it just me? And most of you know what I'm talking about. And that moment where that the Lord just came in and he deposited something in you, and then the doubt of the experience arrives. That's the enemy attacking your faith. And then once the doubt comes in, you start going around Christian people, or you start seeing people maybe going further than you've gone, and things aren't working out exactly like you hoped they would, or you had planned, and then all of a sudden you begin to resent other people and resent circumstances, or resent that past that you've been trying to get away from, but it keeps trying to come into your life. And all these things, the temptation is grabbing at you, the doubt is gripping your mind, and then this resentment of others. We start focus upon Frank, and we start focus upon this person and that person, and all of a sudden we're looking around us and like, well, Lord, look at the world and the shape it's in. If you were a loving God, why would you allow these things? And we begin to look at the earth, and we begin to look at everything around us, and we start making spiritual determinations based upon what is reflected in society and in our homes and in our churches. Our churches are filled with imperfect people. Our communities are filled with people that are messed up. And so we begin to resent others, and we begin to doubt our experience and temptation, and we still have the desires to do these things we know God doesn't want us to do, but then we just gravitate toward them. And then finally we fail. We make a promise to God, and we don't see the change in our lives. And we start saying, well, it wasn't real, and maybe it's not so bad. I'm not as bad as the next person, and you know, this person's awful. And all of these things come together and converge in our lives to call us to fight a poor fight of faith. And so many people that try to walk with God, this is how they fall away. They are tempted. They doubt the expression of God in their life. They resent what they see around them. And then they fail to see the change going on in their life. And I want to be honest with you. Sometimes I think when I was a kid, when I heard the statement is, give your heart to Jesus and everything will be just fine. That is a partial truth. Everything's fine spiritually, but I still got to fight the fight of faith. I still got to follow after the kingdom and the Lord. See, we typically fail in our faith because we fail to focus in the right direction. See, when you come up here to the altar or when you make a promise to the Lord, many of us do it with the wrong understanding. We do it with thinking, I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn my life around. I am going to be the one that defeats this thing in my life. And so we go about fighting a spiritual battle in physical ways. The Bible says we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darknesses, and wicked places. So when you begin to try to make that change in your own life and you begin to try to figure it out in your own mind, you become so bound up and just bound by the enemy, you don't know which way's up. And so you're struggling and you don't know what to do. Well, today I've come to give you some information. Give up that fight today. Stop trying to figure out how to overcome temptation. Stop thinking about your experience. Stop resenting and looking at everybody around you. Stop looking at yourself and saying, well, I failed. No, you have failed in one area, and that is you fail to trust in the Lord God Almighty. You fail to turn it all over to Him. And because you fail to turn it all over to Him, you just go back to the way you've always done things, trying to fix things yourself. And you find yourself in that same horrible place, feeling like nothing's working in my life. Well, I've come to give you a remedy. How many know that when you go to, I love going to a doctor. He said, it's simple, something simple. You take this medicine, they give you this antibiotic, and you take it for 8 days, and whatever's in your body will be eradicated. And you'll be all right. Now, I love it when it works that way. But it don't always work that way. But I love it when it does. Well, I got news for you. If you'll take these spiritual remedies I'm going to give you today, and if you'll apply them to your life, they're foolproof. You'll make it. You'll be successful. Now, there'll be some struggles and there'll be trials and tribulations. But you will be made an overcomer. Not because of you, but because of the one who saved you. And that's what we need to base it on. The scripture says, according to, looking at scriptures here, and there it is, James 1, 5 and 6. He's admonishing the people of God, and he says, if you need wisdom, if you need healing, I'm going to just say, if you need forgiveness, if you need strength, if you need empowerment, whatever it is you may need, ask a generous God. Everybody say generous. Everybody say, God loves me. Now, you got to say it like He really does. Say, my God loves me. All right, He's a generous God. He's a loving God. He says, you being earthly fathers know how to give good gifts. How much more does your heavenly Father know to give gifts to you? So He's a generous God. So you need to settle that issue altogether. God wants me to win. God wants me to be successful. He's for me. But then he goes on as he writes. And he says, He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Key point of the verse. When you ask, ask in such a way that your faith is solely upon God. Not upon Pastor Thurman. Not on Grandma Sue, who's always been there. Not on your Uncle Sam. Not on someone else, because what happens is they fail you along the way. Because you've focused in the wrong area. Faith in God alone. Here's what he says about those that do not have faith in God alone. He says, do not waver. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalties is an unsettled as a wave on the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. He's saying when you're asking, ask God and say, God, I'm bringing it straight to you. You're the one that's got the answer. You're the one that has the help that I need. You love me. I know you love me. I don't doubt your love for me. And I'm going to trust in that love, and I'm going to ask in such a way by faith that, Lord, you are going to do something. Now, again, his heart is settled upon God and God alone. First thing you got to do if you're going to win this battle is you got to turn from temptation. Everybody say turn. Too many of us, we go back and do the same old thing we've been always doing, and then we wonder why we keep getting caught in the same old traps we've always been caught in. There was a little boy in a store similar to the one I was raised back in the country. This little boy was in the store, and the general, the store owner was walking through the store, and he noticed this little boy, and he said there was a big old barrel of apples, and that little boy was just standing there just looking at him. And every time he'd go through the store, he'd see that boy just kept looking at them apples. Kept looking him at. Finally, he got to thinking that little boy wants to take an apple. So he walks up to him and said, boy, You trying to steal one of my apples? He said, no, sir. I'm trying not to steal one of your apples. Some of us are that way. I can guarantee you, when Adam and Eve visited that tree that got them into trouble the first time, it wasn't the first time they went by the tree. It wasn't the second time they went by the tree. They kept traveling around and around that tree and kept listening to that old serpent tell them all the wonderful things they would experience. Just that, you know, the morsels were just melting in their mouth until finally they reached out and grabbed it. And if you're going to be successful, there's no way to be successful. Yes, you will be tempted, but you must turn from your temptation. You can't give in to it. And if you falter in it, you got to confess that you fell and ask God to forgive you and then begin to walk the walk of faith again. Now, how do you overcome temptation? The first thing is you got to know who you are. You know where you're weak. You know your struggles. You know the things that put you in trouble. You know where you go that's going to cause you to falter and fail. Know yourself. And if you don't know yourself well enough, ask your husband or your wife or your child or the person that knows you best and just look at them and says, hey, do you know in what way I'm weak? And I'll guarantee you they know where you're weak. I know they do. My wife knows every weakness I have. And don't you go asking her either, because I've told her, don't you ever tell anybody where I'm weak. But know yourself. Know who you are. Know what you struggle with. And if you know the struggle, understand that it is dangerous. It is very dangerous. It's a place that you need to understand that if you go there, it will cause you to falter and will cause you to fail. Realize the danger that is existing in this moment. Don't just say, I'll be okay. It's like the alcoholic that gets, you know, he's a recovering alcoholic. He's got everything squared away. Hasn't had a drink for years, but he decides that his first mission field is going to be the local watering hole in Hopewell. And so he goes, oh, my buddies, they need to be delivered like me. And he goes into that place, and all of a sudden, seeing that liquor causes those old feelings to rise right back up in him again. Oh, but I'm strong enough. And he keeps going back, and he keeps going back until finally he's drinking. Oh, well, I got to be able to relate with my buddies. They got to know that God forgives. So I'll just take one drink with them so they'll know that it'll be okay. God can forgive them. And before long, he needs his buddies to help him out of the bar because he's done got drunker than they are. Realize the danger of the struggle. It is a struggle for life and death. It is a struggle for not only you, but for the next generation. Because if you walk around bound, most likely you're going to give birth to people that are walking around bound. And I want my kids to be set free. So I promise you, I'm going to do everything I can to let God set me free so that I can walk in freedom and they can see what freedom looks like and they can want to walk toward that freedom and be as free as they see played out before them. Overcome the danger. Realize the danger. Know yourself. Trust in God. Allow him to help you to avoid the trouble. God will give you wisdom. But you got to listen. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But know yourself. Realize the danger. Avoid the trouble. And then finally, we need to understand that God is working in our behalf. That God wants to do great things in our life. And as we avoid this trouble, we must understand we've got to draw close to God. You can't do it yourself. You can't just say, well, I'm going to stop going there. Oh, when that temptation comes upon you, don't deny or ignore the temptation. Say, Father God, I'm struggling right now. I need you right now, Lord. Will you open up a door? Because the scripture tells me in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 that there is no temptation overtaken me, but which is common to man, but that God will provide a way of escape. Amen. If I'll but trust in him. And some of us, we just keep wandering and wandering and wandering until we finally succumb. Turn away from temptation. Listen to this. The serpent is helpless. He's helpless in your life unless he finds an apple to work with. Think about it. He can't do anything in your life unless you give him something. Give him your mind. And I'll promise you, he'll take you places you don't ever want to go. I've had more discussions with people that never thought they would have ended up in this place. But somehow they arrived there because they kept walking in temptation. The scripture makes it very clear in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Therefore, submit to God. Resist. Everybody say resist. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. But don't just resist him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You got to turn from temptation. But that leads you to the next part, which is draw near to God. Now, last week we visited a little bit about how the Holy Spirit, he is with me and he can be with you. Whoever's in this, when you walk out of this door, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is there. He is with you everywhere you go. Now, that may scare some of you. It ought to a little bit. Because he knows every thought you think. He sees every act you take. And Lord, we need his help. We need to learn to trust the Holy Spirit. Now that goes back to when times are troubled, when times are difficult, trust in him. Allow him the freedom to work in your life. He is the one that will empower you, encourage you, help you along the journey. He is the one that works in you those things that God wants to do in your life. But you must trust him. Now, how many know that trust has to be developed? Right? You know what I'm talking about. When you meet somebody, you don't trust them like you do someone you've known all your life. There is a development of the relationship. Now, that's a two-way street. You've got to learn to trust in him, but he's got to know he can trust in you. Some of you, now I'm going to talk to some of you who've been walking with the Lord a while, and you're asking the question, now, Pastor, I'm trying to trust, but I just find myself dealing with the same old all the time. My question is the Holy Spirit has given you a seed, and the Holy Spirit's given you a gift. Now, as you take and apply that gift and let him work in your life, then he opens up more doors for you to get a deeper walk with him, a deeper experience with him. But when you're still, wrestling with things and you're still, when he begins to give you instruction, you're still sort of backing off and saying, I don't know. He's not going to open himself up completely to you. It's about letting him work in your life and then letting him saturate your life and then let him baptize your life. And next thing you know, you're walking not in your own authority, but in the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who gives you authority over principalities and powers of darkness, who allows you to bind on earth what can be bound in heaven and allows you to loose on earth what can be loosed in heaven. See, that kind of power, God's not going to release to you just because you don't, just because you ask for it. You've got to begin to walk in the trust and the favor of the Lord. It's important, but we too many times, we don't let him lead us. Oh, we love him when he touches us in church, don't we? I mean, I love it, man. You get to feeling those. Y'all know what I'm talking about, those little goosies. Somebody, I watch a show, she says goosies. You walk out, you feel it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, there's something in that room I felt. And man, Lord, I just want to feel that. And then we get out in the world. We get in the Walmart line. It's that 20 items line, and you've got 15 items. You've counted them. You're sure that you have 15 items. And you get behind somebody, and you're starting to count. They got 25 items. Uh-uh. No. This is a 20 item line. And you start getting angry. Don't they see that? Can't they read English? It says 20. They got 25. I'm in a hurry. They're wasting my time. And you start grumbling to yourself, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's now, calm down. It's going to be okay. You don't want, but God, they got 25 items. 25, not 20. And all of a sudden, we're just letting ourselves rise up. Oh, Lord. And then we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. And then we walk out of that place. The person in front of us knows that we're angry. The person behind us knows that we're angry. And then we get up to the cash register and says, I can't believe people have the audacity to get in the 20 item line and they have over 20 items. She knows we're mad. The welcome person says, see you later. And we're grumbling because we're 5 minutes late to a meeting that we really don't have to be there at that time. But we're just mad because we can't get there. I've told you my story today. And don't you look at me, because I'm telling your story too. He will lead you. He will correct you. We love for him to bless us. We don't love him to correct us. But he will lead us. He will correct us. He will empower us. And he will pick me up. And he will never leave me. Now I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. I get in the car. Now, this didn't happen yesterday. It's just happened some point in time in my past. I know it has. Again, don't ask Vicki because she'll tell you the whole story. And I'm driving down the road and I start feeling guilty. Man, I just messed up. And remorse comes over my heart. I failed. I failed the Lord. Now what do? Lord, forgive me for doing that. I'm sorry. I know I didn't represent you the right way. And I begin to confess my sins to the Lord, who is faithful and just to forgive me all of my sins and to cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. See, God's a forgiving God. But what's your intent? You got to trust in the Lord. You see, we need to understand certain things in life. We need to understand that certain aspects need to take place in order for us to be successful. And the only way that's going to happen is that we put our trust fully in Him. John 14 and 26 puts it this way. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Don't quench Him. Don't shut Him off. Don't ignore Him. Because much like you and I, when we are constantly ignored, we typically don't call as often as we did before. We don't speak to someone that constantly turns the volume off. Listen to Him. The worst thing you can do is stop listening to the Holy Spirit. He will not speak over a roar, and He will not speak to someone that constantly chooses to go their own way. And finally, take the initiative. Take an initiative in your life. Don't just expect things to change. Be a change agent in your own life. Be proactive in your spiritual walk. Reading the scripture, praying, these are all proactive ways to allow the Spirit to work in you. Some of us think it takes, look, come here, Davis. I can walk, Davis walks this way, and I can walk with Davis, keep walking, Davis. We just walk everywhere, and I can just walk around this building, and then I can go to work with Davis all day long. I can do everything I need to do. I can go with Davis. Davis is an awesome mechanic. I can go to work with Davis, and I can sit there and just stand next to Davis and just say, okay, Davis, I believe that the longer I hang out with you and just sit next to you, that I'm going to be a great mechanic myself. And after about 6 months of hanging around with Davis, I go to his boss and say, hey, I'm fully able to fix diesel engines now. Because I've been walking beside Davis Atkins, and he's one of the best diesel mechanics I know. So surely I can be a diesel mechanic. And he gives me a job, and I look at that thing, and I'm like, uh-oh. I don't have a clue. No, what do I need to do? I said, Davis, show me how you became a diesel mechanic. Give me some books to read about being a diesel mechanic. Explain to me how much I need to do. Exactly what do I need to do to be a diesel mechanic? And then I begin to apply the lessons learned that Davis has given me. And I read the book. And I start working on the engine. Next thing you know, I become what I want to become because I've been proactive in doing it. I want to be a diesel. I want to be a Christian, Lord. I want to live right, Lord. I want to do everything right, but then I sit around and keep doing the same old all the time, and I don't allow God to work in my life, and I don't read His Word, and I don't get around Christian people that help to show me and mentor me and lead me. You must be proactive. See, you do your part, and God will always show up. He will always show up. He won't leave you hanging. He'll be there. But too many times God's waiting on us and we're just sitting there doing the same thing, falling in the same trap, and then blaming God because we're not getting anywhere. Some of you need to hear this morning. Begin to walk in faith. That means read even when you don't understand it. That means praying even when you don't know what to say. And I promise you the Holy Spirit will show up and He will do a work. God's not interested in your intellect. He's interested in your availability and willingness to follow Him and Him alone. The best defense is a good offense. Some of you are just sitting still and you're an easy target for the enemy. Stop getting beat up by the enemy. Stop taking his mess. Start looking at him. You might need to do this, and I've had to do this sometimes physically. I just, get alone. Don't do it in a crowded room because they'll put you in the funny farm. Just get alone and just say, devil, I ain't taking it no more. You're not just messing with me. You're messing with the Father. And he told me he won't leave me. And I promise you this, it's not me that's going to defeat you. If it was left up to me, it would have ended long ago. But you've been defeated on a cross 2,000 years ago. And you can't win. So you quit messing or I'm going to turn loose God on you. Let God have his way. Get after it. And don't let the enemy win. And when you start doing things, you're going to fail. You're going to slip up. You start reading, you may miss a day. You start praying, you may forget to pray. You may go to Walmart and get mad because somebody's got 25 items in a 20-item line. But the thing about it is, just keep falling forward. Just keep moving forward. And as you fall toward the cross. As you move, fall toward the Savior. And I promise you this, he's going to help you get up. He's going to clean you off. He's going to straighten your way. And he'll keep walking with you. But you got to take the initiative. You got to let God work. Some of y'all like this guy on the bottom of the step. You're all messed up. But God's raised you up. He sees a champion in you. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation, crying out for this nourishment now that you have a taste of the Lord's kindness. Stand with me this morning.